Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Anaheim wants to reopen. For a second, Disneyland was accepting new guests. Why no guidelines are worse than delayed guidelines?
The D23 Expo has been moved. Construction continues. New parking kiosks. We discuss the state of California and Disneyland reopening and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of September 30th, 2020. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Well, we would like to thank Kristen M. for becoming a new supporter of the show. This support helps to make DL Weekly possible. For those of you that don't already know or haven't checked it out, our supporter Discord chat has been a wonderful source of Disney magic while Disneyland has been closed. We have all sorts of amazing and fun Halloween theme events coming up next month, of course, for Halloween and for October. So if you guys are supporters, make sure you go check out our Discord chat to learn more. We've got theme movie nights. We're going to have Halloween trivia. I think there's going to be some sort of scavenger hunt type thing.
There's more bounding.
I think our community managers are sending us on some fun and wild adventure, all sorts of fun stuff. So again, to learn more, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
DL Weekly logo stickers are now available. We have two versions for you to choose from, watercolor and a classic white. These durable stickers are great anywhere. They fit on your water bottle. You can put them on your laptop or even your car window. They do have some nice UV shielding on it. If you are interested in supporting the podcast that way, head on over to store.dlweekly.net to order yours.
We all know vacations are supposed to be a stress-free experience. So start that early on with your next Disney vacation by getting in touch with Mike, James, and Scott over at Concierge. You know, you can't go wrong with your family's Disney vacation when the team at Concierge is full of Disney families. They'll treat you like part of their family and work to give you the best Disney vacation that you've ever had, whether it's in one of the parks, on a cruise ship, or with Adventures by Disney. Take advantage of the one-stop shop that's no additional charge to you. Plus, you'll get a free year of touring plans when you mention that DL Weekly sent you.
Now let's get to the news. Well, the Reopen OC Now Coalition of Anaheim, Buena Park, and Garden Grove City leaders and the Anaheim Chamber of Commerce released an ad targeted at the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, to get him to release the guidelines for reopening theme parks. The ad states that the represented area is hurting since most of the economy is based on travel related to the closed theme parks. They also make the case that all other areas of business have guidelines that allow them to operate except for theme parks.
So we will be covering this and so much more later on in the discussion topic, because I feel like a lot of stuff was recently released and a lot of things are happening right now with this. I kind of feel
today
like
was very busy.
Today was very busy. I feel like the last week has been very busy ever since we had that press conference that Disney put on that really didn't give us too much information. So anyways, more to come at the discussion topic. Last week, it looked for a brief second as if Disneyland had reopened to guests. Unfortunately, it had not. It was just for filming things for the Disney social media team. We're guessing that it might be a promotional video on how to enter the park safely once they are allowed to reopen.
I thought this was like a nice little tease because obviously the video production that they're doing had actors that are look like guests. They were using the social distancing markers. Of course, they were at the turnstiles. They had the gates open. They had cast members scanning people in. So it seemed like, What? And can you imagine if you were there at Downtown Disney and you look over and it looks like people are going into Disneyland? I probably would have had a heart attack.
I know. That's what I was thinking, too. Like, what? How did this look to, you know, people walking by? But we did see some photos that Mice Chat actually took of this happening. I do think you had to be, I don't know, like eagle eyes to see that they were going through the turnstiles, because they do, again, have the area in front of Disneyland roped off pretty far back, so you can't go right up to the gates. And a lot of them had umbrellas to like keep the sun off of them, so I don't know how obvious it was. It looked pretty obvious to us because, of course, we're looking at photos that are zoomed in. But so anyways, it's still, I would have like, my heart would have skipped a beat, I think, if I would have noticed that.
I'm surprised they didn't have like a flash mob of people like running the gates like, they're open, you know?
Yeah, like, so I'm thinking the photos maybe made it look a little bit more obvious than maybe it actually was.
It was still pretty dang cool.
It's still funny, and like, I couldn't imagine coming across that and what I would have thought.
Yeah. As many of us that want Disneyland to reopen, we also want it done in a safe, responsible way. As frustrated as Disney is at the state of California not providing guidelines to reopen, they are also not comfortable with the complete abandonment of any guidelines, like has recently happened in Florida. The lack of any guidelines, with cases on the rise in Florida, will deter guests from traveling to the parks, considering Florida just too unsafe, even if Disney is completely safe. Once California provides guidelines, that will be the happy medium the guests and Disney are the most comfortable with.
This is just, it's really weird to me to think that the company, Disney, has one thing going on one side of the country, and it feels like the exact opposite going on the other side of the country.
Right.
Where you've got California, which again, we're going to talk about it more in depth later, but you've got California that's playing it very safe. And now Florida, for those of you that don't follow, the governor of Florida basically reopened the state. So masks are no longer required. There's no restrictions on capacity at things like restaurants, bars, and even theme parks. So it's, you've got one place that's really closed down and one place that's open and like nothing's, basically in the before times.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't imagine being the company and having to try and navigate these two extremes at the same time. And again, trying to find what the happy medium is in both of these scenarios. So,
but you got to think about it, though. If you're, obviously locals in Florida will still go to Disney World. In fact, I would say probably a lot of the people were there when we were there were probably locals. Disneyland itself is a big locals park. But what they need, Disney World is a more visitor focused park. So if you get people like us, I don't think if we had to do our trip now, I think it would be a little harder for us to jump on board and say, okay, even though we didn't spend a lot of time in the non-Disney bubble of Florida.
We spent no time in the non-Disney bubble of Florida. We actually...
But still.
Yeah, we just drove through Florida. We didn't even have to stop for gas because little did we know there's a gas station on Walt Disney World property.
Right.
So that was pretty handy. But yeah, it's just really interesting and crazy. I do feel for the cast members. I don't think that the guidelines that Disney has in place, I don't think that's going to change. I think they're going to keep doing what's been working for them. I don't think mask requirements at Walt Disney World are going to go out the window. I don't think social distancing markers are going to all be, pulled up. I don't think anything's going to change. What I do feel may happen is I do feel that there may be some confusion with guests that, well, the state says I don't have to wear my mask,
sure.
So why is Disney telling me that I have to wear my mask? So I do think there's going to be some confusion, so I do feel for the cast members that are going to have to help guests understand that, no, you may not have to do these things in Florida, but you're in Disney and we can have our own separate rules here.
One of the things, too, about this that's really staggering and something to be concerned about is the fact that Florida cases are on the rise right now. And so even with the cases on the rise, the fact that they're just like, everything's fine, everything's going to be great, is not the good thing to have. And I agree with you, Teresa, that basically, if you have this situation where the rest of the state doesn't have to have these things being imposed, and then people go to Disney and they do have these things imposed, it's going to be harder for them to want to abide by those rules, unfortunately, which would not be good. So I'm hoping that you got to think about the other thing, too. What if by doing this, cases skyrocket and they do decide to lock back down? Maybe they lock back down to the point where the parks have to close again. And nobody wants the parks to have to close again because it's not Disney's fault. They're doing every possible thing in their power to make it a safe place and make guests feel comfortable being there.
Well, if you are one of the lucky few who have a Premier Annual Passport, which allows access to all the Disney parks in the United States for an entire year, this bit of news is for you. Disney is extending the pass expiration date 30 days at a time until Disneyland reopens. Once Disneyland does reopen, a final extension will be added to the pass. Any questions should be directed to the VIP pass holder support line.
Yeah, so this is interesting because Disney World is open and this pass is for both resorts on both coasts, but they're doing the cool thing and they're extending it until Disneyland is reopened. So, I mean, there's really no way that they could like split the two things. It'd be very annoying and confusing for them. But this is kind of good. So if you're closer to Disney World and you have one of these premier annual passes, it's going to be pretty neat because you can keep going and keep going until Disney. So maybe if you're a Disney World person and not so much a Disneyland, although I don't know why you'd be listening to this podcast, maybe it's a good news for you because that just means your pass keeps getting extended while the parks are closed.
You know, that's what I was thinking too when I saw this. I was like, you know, I didn't even, like, we're too busy thinking about just regular annual passes. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot about those folks out there with the premier annual pass. So what's the right thing to do here if you're Disney? How do you... I mean, I don't...
It would be way too complicated to be like, well, your Disney World privileges end here and your Disneyland privileges end there.
So even though this doesn't directly affect me because I do not have a premier annual pass, I'm super...
Hashtag life goals.
I'm super curious and I want to kind of follow how this plays out and what Disney does to kind of like compensate these people, mm-hmm. right? Because you can't just say, oops, sorry about you, you know, is what it is. Technically, they could, but I'm just curious, you know, it's much more simple if you only have a pass to one of the parks or one of the
resorts
versus us having a pass to both resorts and them being on such different timelines.
It is crazy because for those of you who don't know, this pass is very expensive. It's like $2,100 or $2,200 for a year, but it does give you total 365 access, 365 days a year. To all the parks, so the four theme parks in Disney World and the two theme parks in Disneyland, you can pay for an add-on that gets you the water parks, but by itself does not include the water parks. But it also gives you all the stuff of the highest level of annual passes, so there's no blockout dates. I think a lot of times you can get free parking with it, so... I mean, for that amount of money, they've got to... I mean, there's not that many people that have these compared to the other passes,
yeah.
So... Well, Disney internships and college program participants can now request complimentary tickets for their participation in the programs in the spring of 2020. Ticket requests must be made by September 20th, 2021. For complete details, please see the link in our show notes.
I don't really know what to add to that.
I mean, I think this is cool because these poor people were the people that got their program cut short and sent home.
Yes. Yeah, I think this is a really nice thing that Disney is doing. And, you know, maybe something that they don't necessarily have to do because, yeah, like Tag just said, these people, some of the, you know, their participation did not get the full extent of it. With everything going on right now in the world due to COVID-19 and all of this uncertainty and not really knowing what the future may hold, Disney has announced that the D23 Expo, which was originally scheduled for August of 2021, will be rescheduled to September 9th through 11th, 2022. At the Expo, details will be revealed on how the Walt Disney Company will celebrate their 100th anniversary. Disney stated in the announcement that it will be an Expo unlike any other. Virtual D23 events will continue to be held throughout the year.
So this is my disappointment with this. So obviously, like, I don't care at all that they moved it. I think that's great. But it's always been in August. So the fact that they've scheduled it to like the second week in September
that's
is my problem. Because James and I were talking about it. And I said, well, he teaches. So he can't go.
I'm wondering just attendance overall. How is this going to impact attendance?
I mean, that's what I'm saying is people are going to be dealing with all their summer vacations are going to be dealt with. Kids are going to be back in school. So it's going to be a lot harder. I mean, there wasn't a lot of kids at the expo to begin with.
No.
I don't remember seeing that many.
Not many.
But still, like, you know, for like our family, if producer James wanted to go this time, it's going to be almost impossible unless they're still doing online learning. But if they're still doing online learning, they're probably going to move the expo again. So,
well, the one thing to think too is perhaps maybe this one will be September. Maybe there was something already booked August 2022.
Oh, sure.
And so maybe this year is a one-off and that's why it's September instead of the end of August.
Sure.
So, I mean, time will tell because I'm sure a lot of other big events have also had to push their stuff back. So it's kind of, maybe it was just what was open and available and not necessarily we're completely shifting what weekend we always do this on. So the one thing that is kind of sad, though, is because how this kind of lined up is when we were there last year, they were able to celebrate the archive's 50th because it was very close.
Yep.
And then, of course, you had the correct year for the, you know, all of the D23 anniversaries. But now with them shifting to an even numbered year instead of an odd number year, and it just so happens that they would have also landed on the 100th anniversary if it would have been 2023 of the Walt Disney Company. It's weird to me that it kind of like this doesn't impact just one thing. This kind of impacts so many more things. Like, it's not just the expo is getting shifted a year, yeah, you know, whatever. No, like, now every time that they D23 celebrates an anniversary,
oh, yeah,
they're going to be a year off. Same thing with it just so happened to perfectly line up with the 100th year anniversary, yep, of the company. Well, now they're going to be a year off.
Yep.
So it's just kind of weird to think how like the bigger ripple effect of this whole thing.
What's going to be really interesting is with the company turning 100 in 2023, how long is it going to take for everything to recuperate from the pandemic? And then how different? So let's say the Walt Disney Company held their 100th, that they turned 100, let's say, last year. They were doing financially great. They were making money hand over fist. So they could have done a crazy big party and celebration. At this point, they're going to be coming, at best case scenario, they're coming out of the pandemic, right? And so they're, by 2023, by October, hopefully they've gotten back up to levels of from before. But I think that all that capital expenditure and stuff to do some big party, I think we're just going to see some stuff scaled back.
Well, the party, because remember, it's going to be an off year from the D23 event, the party will be at the parks in 2023,
true,
because D23 will, unless they switch it, D23 will be 2022 and then 2024 again.
Sure. Yeah, it'll
be interesting.
It'll also be interesting to see what they announce at that expo, because obviously a lot of stuff got kind of curtailed and everything with all this going on now. They'll probably have some new things to announce then. Plus, by 2022, we'll just about have Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway open, because that's supposed to be a 2023 thing now. So it'll be just about open for that. We'll have Avengers Campus will definitely be open by that point. So,
and our Splash Mountain retheme,
hopefully,
to Princess,
yeah,
and the Frog, possibly would have been, mm-hmm, done by then. So we're going to learn all sorts of crazy new things that we don't even know is on the radar yet.
Speaking of construction at Disneyland has continued to progress throughout the shutdown. The refurbishment on the exterior of the Emporium seems to have been completed and looks wonderful. And Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway that we just mentioned is coming together fast. The steel framework is going up very quickly and seems like it will be completed in short order, at least the outside of it. It's amazing how quick they can get all of that together.
Yeah. So we just wanted to kind of explain the Emporium was just basically a fresh coat of paint. It's same coloring, nothing major there. They just gave it a refresh, gave it a little facial, if you will. But the thing that's really impressive is Mice Chat has been getting some great photos of the progress of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which for those of you that have gotten to experience it in Walt Disney World, or maybe you've seen videos, this space, or even if, I guess we could even back up further, if you've experienced the Great Movie Ride, because it's in the same space as the Great Movie Ride, as the Great Movie Ride was in, yeah, Walt Disney World. This space is massive. These rooms felt ginormous. So it's really interesting looking at the photo that they have now, because they have, what, 3 stories high. There's this tiny little man on the top story that just looks like this little speck. It's, mm-hmm, just, it really shows off the scale of things, which is incredible to me because, right, we were sitting in the building. I'm assuming this is going to be
a duplicate,
pretty much the same. And yeah, like you said, a duplicate. I didn't feel that it was that. I mean, it felt very large in there, but it didn't seem like it'd be that big. So it's just really interesting. The other cool thing, too, is in the background of the shot that Mice Chat has posted, which, of course, we will have a link in the show notes, too. You can see the mountains of Galaxy's Edge, and seeing how tall this building is in comparison to the peaks of those mountains is also kind of is really interesting to me.
Unlike the peaks that we got to see at Hollywood Studios, where you get to see all the scaffold or all, yeah, the steel work and everything,
they reminded me of like how a lot of people called Jack-Jack on the Incredicoaster, like Jack-Jack on like
on a stick
or on a stick. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what the mountain range looks like from backstage Walt Disney World,
and yeah,
it's open for all the world to see. Perhaps maybe that'll get camouflaged a little bit more when they build that Star Wars hotel.
Lori in the chat is asking about Snow White and the carousel. So Snow White, the scaffolding has all come down on the exterior, and the carousel is back into some type of work being done on it.
Yeah, it's still all covered up and tarped up, though, so there's no visual that we can see on the carousel yet. But there's still, they didn't have an update this week, but everything that we've been seeing is that there's still work trucks back there, and they're still plugging away on it. Well, Disney cast members all over the world are currently trained in the four keys: safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency. Recently, a fifth key has been added to this list: inclusion. This has been added to drive meaningful cultural change in the world. I think this is beautiful, and I think that it's very fitting, and I definitely think it is a step in the right direction for not just Disney, but just everyone, right?
I mean, they're trying to set a good example with everything, and of course, with recent events in the world and everything, it's important for them to be kind of taking a stand as a large corporation that they are and trying to include everybody.
Yeah.
I've always felt that Disney, in general, has been pretty inclusive. I think that they're getting better, especially with things like their movies and stuff lately, because obviously, like, you had Tiana. I know she's the only princess right now, the only black princess right now, but they're doing better. They are making steps to kind of change some of these norms and everything and kind of include people, of people of different races, and the fact that, like, princesses don't always need a prince to save them and stuff like that. Moana was a very strong character who didn't need a prince to come save her, kind of a thing. So they are getting better, and I'm glad that they're showing that through all of their cast member training.
Well, and I think that this is important too, because with the Black Lives Matter movement, we did have some stories kind of come out from cast members that were feeling that there was racism, or that there was, very uncomfortable events happening based on the color of people's skins or their nationality or, whatever. So I do think it's very important that Disney as a company is instilling this in their cast members, so that not only are they as a company doing this, but they're making sure that they're doing this personally and doing this in their day to day and doing this in the work, because it's incredibly important. It's something that we have ignored for far too long.
Yep.
And it's, it's not okay. And so it's good that progress is being made.
Absolutely. Well, new pins that are given to cast members to use for pin trading have come to Disneyland and Walt Disney World. The new pins feature carnival masks, Star Wars droids, Marvel icons, Pixar shorts, a Disneyland D series, and California activities. Over in Disney World, they include Pixar A Bug's Life, Castle Fill, which is Cinderella's castle filled with some type of different designs, and The Lion King. Both resorts offer the carnival masks, the Star Wars droids, and Marvel icons, but each resort has different designs of those categories.
So I may be a little biased, but I actually like our Marvel icons better than I like the ones that they have at Walt Disney World. But I do really like the filled castle pins that they have at Walt Disney World.
They're
because
cute.
There's a Halloween one that's just awesome. It's got Mickey pumpkins and it's purple. What more can you ask for?
However, they have K2SO as a pin, and I love K2SO. And they also have BB-8.
The other thing, too, is their masquerade. So the carnival masks, right? Walt Disney World's, theirs are all villains themed, whereas ours are, they're like themed on like the Fab Five. And I guess I'll go more heroes since the other side is villains. But we've got the Disneyland D series are phenomenal, you guys. These are going to be the ones that everybody's after. Because
I want the Maleficent one.
It is a famous character. So we've got Peter Pan, Alice, Winnie the Pooh, Mickey Pirate, Maleficent, and Minnie. All of these amazing characters, and they're standing in front of the iconic Disneyland D. These are going to be the hot ticket one. Well, Downtown Disney has been installing self-parking kiosks at the entrance to the parking areas recently. The new kiosks are not operational at this time, and there is no word on when they will be activated. The self-service kiosks allow guests to grab a ticket on the way to the parking area, and there are pay stations as you return to the parking area from Downtown Disney to pay before you go back to your car. The pay stations are also under wraps for now. Parking will be free for the first 3 hours with a $20 purchase from a store or quick service dining establishment in Downtown Disney, and 5 hours free if you validate with a table service restaurant. Otherwise, it is $14 per hour charged in 30-minute increments up to a max of $56 a day. The other thing to mention, too, is if you lose your ticket, you will be charged the maximum amount of $56. So hang on to your tickets.
Yeah. This is good. I mean, I feel like almost everywhere that I've been that for parking has this. For Downtown Disney, I think it's fine. I'm wondering, I mean, you're also going to save on staffing, because before I think they had cast members there at the booths dealing with parking stuff. So this is all, you know, self-service from the guests. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if eventually the parking structures will have this kind of a situation too. We'll have to wait and find out. Well, Downtown Disney has recently revealed a new art piece honoring the recent passing of Chadwick Boseman. The mural was designed and created by former Imagineer Nicholas Smith. The mural depicts Chadwick and a youth cancer patient wearing a Black Panther mask, sharing a moment. Chadwick Boseman passed away after battling cancer. The inscription on the mural reads, "As a former Disney Imagineer, I had the honor of working on a major children's hospital initiative and Avengers Campus as my final two assignments. Seeing Chadwick's heart for people in person and later discovering his courageous battle with cancer, I was inspired to create this tribute to honor his life and legacy. To us, he was and will always be T'Challa. Long live the king."
First of all, we didn't know that this was happening. It just kind of like popped up and appeared. So it was a very, very amazing, very pleasant, very beautiful surprise. But you guys, the photos of this mural just look breathtaking. I can't imagine what it's like to see this in person. I'm sure people that have seen it in person probably get goosebumps. It's just a very touching, very beautiful. You can like feel the emotion when you look at this mural. It's just fantastic. The work that he did on this is just very impressive. I don't know if we'll get to see it in person because I don't know how long it's going to be up for. I hope that it's there. I hope that it's either there permanently or that it's at least there for quite a long while. I do feel like this does deserve a place of honor permanently.
Did you watch the special that they had about like honoring his life?
I did.
It was good.
It was. I was telling the people in the chat that if you guys do the ABC, well, to back up, ABC did a very powerful, very beautiful, very touching tribute to Chadwick and to his life and his legacy. And they have it now. It's available to watch on Disney Plus. I do want to warn you, if anybody does choose to watch this, I encourage you to, but I also highly recommend you bring a box of tissues with you, because man, it was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting because it did replace. So for those of you that don't know where exactly this is, it did replace the 65th anniversary mural. It had the castle, it had Mickey, it had Minnie. Very fun, very cheerful, very Disney. But this is over by the old ESPN building. So there was some people that were a little upset that the 65th mural was taken down and wasn't placed somewhere else. And to me, it is kind of, it feels like it was two different ends of the spectrum, right? We had one mural that was celebrating happiness in the 65th anniversary of a park. And now we have this like this beautiful, beautiful tribute. So it's, I don't know. To me, I feel like this, the 65th anniversary mural, I would have like gone up in front of and like posed and like taken a picture with. This one, I feel like I would just stand there and honor and appreciate.
Mm-hmm. So I hope that they leave it there, and I hope I get a chance to see it in person.
Quite frankly,
well,
I'm impressed at how quickly this happened.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with the Halloween season now in full swing and the start of October, what better way to celebrate than to make some Disneyland pumpkin fudge at home? Mice Chat has posted a copycat recipe for this yummy sweet treat online with just a few ingredients, a couple hours, and 7 steps, and for me, a whole lot of cleanup afterwards, because I can't seem to make anything in my kitchen without making a mess. Besides the point, this will be a fun treat to make at home. I am not okay. This, I might get some flack for this. I am not a huge, like, I don't go crazy for pumpkin. That's just not me. Like, I enjoy pumpkin things. Personally, I do not like pumpkin pie, but this sounds really interesting. Like, I want to make this. I want to try this.
You don't
like
pumpkin pie?
I'm not a pumpkin pie person. I know.
I love pumpkin. I'll take all your pumpkin pie. Yeah. I love pumpkin pie.
Yeah, Vern loves pumpkin pie too, so he's totally fine with me not being a big pumpkin pie person. So, yeah.
I've never had their pumpkin fudge, so I don't know if I'll like this. I never understood the whole... So, First of all, I never understood.
See, I don't like pumpkin spice so that you can have more in the world. Just think of it that way.
I don't understand everybody's obsession with coffee in general. And then everybody's obsession with pumpkin spice everything in the last few years. I don't understand that either. So maybe it's just not for me. There's plenty of things I get obsessed about and it's not that. But I don't know. I this is not something I need to try, I guess, for me. This is not something we're going to make a special DL Weekly
thing. Maybe we'll just do a special Teresa thing.
You and producer Vera could do one.
I want to make this. To me, this sounds intriguing to me.
Well, on October 30th.
Can we just pause?
Oh, geez.
You know how hard it was. You guys in the chat, I am so excited we finally get to say this because as soon as I saw this story, all I wanted to do was throw it in the chat so you guys could all see it because you could be as super excited as I am because I know you all will be. But I've saved it. I am so excited for this next story. It is unbelievable how excited I am for this story.
Wow.
Continue.
Well, on October 30th, the Sanderson sisters are returning once again for one night only. Can you stop shaking the whole house? Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy will hold a virtual charity event to support the New York Restoration Project. Tickets to the virtual event are $10, and Teresa has already bought all of them, and are available at the link in the show notes. Some limited edition merchandise is also available for pre-order, including candles, totes, shirts, and treats. Also, if you're in the LA area, there will be a drive-through experience hosted by Freeform, which is owned by the Walt Disney Company, that will feature Hocus Pocus and The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I don't even know how to describe how excited I am about this. I just, yes, yes, all of the yes. So D20, I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say. So remember D23, Bette Midler was supposed to accept her award in person for her Legends, her Disney Legends award.
I was very sad she wasn't there.
We were like on the edge of our seat, and I told Hag, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do if she comes out dressed as Winifred Sanderson. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, unfortunately, she was not able to attend in person, so I did not get to see Winifred Sanderson in the flesh. But I'm so excited about this. Bette Midler, I think it was back in 2016, she dressed as Winifred for this, for her gala back in 2016, and like everyone just went crazy for it. So, I'm beyond excited that the three are going to all reprise their role and they're all going to be together and they're going to do this. So I think this is so much fun. There are some things that I really appreciate about 2020 and the fact that 2020 stinks and things have to look different, because we would not have been able to experience this if there was not a shutdown going on, because this would not have probably been a virtual event. This would have been a very high priced, only like so many people, and it's in person. So the fact that this is open to the public and it's $10 a ticket, this is like my one good thing. I'm just kidding.
So the limited edition merchandise, there's like a tote bag and a cool shirt. Oh, this candle looks cool. It said Dead Man's Toes. $45. Whew.
It's because it's for charity.
That's true. They have a black flame candle. Mm-hmm. Two of them. They have a two pack
types.
And a one pack. A bowl, a blood of owl and herb that's red tea. Interesting. Name your poison skull spoons. Are you going to buy any of this stuff?
I don't think I need any of it.
Ooh, poison apples.
The merchandise is very neat, but I don't know if there's anything.
I put a spell on you and now you're wine. Three cans of wine make one bottle of... That's amazing.
Anyways, very,
how much
very
is
excited.
This? Hold on. Now I'm stuck on the beer or wine. Sorry. Oh, look at that. It's got Winifred on it. Oh,
all
it's sold out.
Flavors.
They were sold. How much were they though? I just...
White variety. I don't know.
$36 for a six pack. Whew.
So $36 for a bottle of wine. Well, on this week's Dancing with the Stars episode, it was once again Disney night. The best night, in my opinion, for Dancing with the Stars. Well, the contestants danced to Disney songs with the ballroom set made to play tribute to the Main Street Electrical Parade. I have not watched this yet, but I 100% am going to, just because A, it's Disney night, but B, because the Main Street Electrical Parade. But they actually had one of the little snail floats out like on the dance floor. So I... So much fun. The rest of the parade was highlighted, but it was highlighted on a screen. They didn't actually have all... Yeah. It wasn't like the full parade was in the ball. Like, all the parade floats were in the ballroom.
Now, do you ever watch Dancing with the Stars?
So, I will be honest, and I think I watched one, maybe two seasons. And...
So I watched like three seasons, I think, fairly recently, because they have a show that it's based off of from the UK called Strictly Come Dancing. And Strictly Come Dancing is amazing. It's the same show. It's basically the same show. I did not know, because I've not been watching it. There's been tons of drama this year because they got rid of the host, Tom Bergeron, and they got rid of like a bunch of stuff and they changed a bunch of... There's just been drama. I didn't follow it. I just remember seeing stuff about it. And I did not know. Poor producer James. I'm watching... Disney had that clip. They posted a clip like promoting Disney Night. And I said, James... Did you know the chick who killed her husband from Tiger King is on this? He's like, Carol Baskins? Oh, yeah, it was a big deal. I'm like, interesting. Because I watched Tiger King.
I feel like every year there's some sort of slightly controversial person that they have on the show.
Well, I didn't watch the season that had Sean Spicer, the press secretary for the president. Like, he was on it a couple seasons ago. But I loved Tom Bergeron.
The one thing that I try to do every year, though, is I always watch... Disney Night. Doesn't matter if I'm watching the season or not. I always enjoy watching Disney Night because it's Disney. And I also always really enjoy watching their like Halloween night too. I think they do really fun, well-themed Halloween dances.
I need to watch this episode because it looked like either for the open or maybe just the promo or maybe one of their dance numbers, something they filmed on Main Street in Disneyland.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm trying to figure out if this was filmed after COVID. Sure. It must have been because... So they filmed something in there. Anyway. Well, now it's time to take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James will try to stump us with some Disney trivia. He'll ask us four questions. We will attempt to answer, and we'll get the correct answer after the discussion topic. What do you have for us this week, James? Please tell us that people were not very mean to us this time.
They were mean to you this time.
Oh, no!
Our first question this week comes from listener Quincy. The question is, what was the first attraction in Disneyland to have a holiday overlay?
Oh, I know this one.
The first attraction in Disneyland to have a holiday overlay.
I know this one.
I feel like it's the Haunted Mansion, but I don't think that's right.
You're going to be surprised. It's a Small World in, I think, 1997.
Really? So small? You're saying Small World holiday has been going on longer than Haunted Mansion holiday?
Yep.
Confidence right there. Question number two comes from listener Donna S. If it were open today, how many attractions are there at Disneyland, at the resort as a whole?
Is it 52?
It's 52 or 50.
I'm going to go with 52.
I think it was 52.
That's my gut.
That is a gut instinct right there. We'll see if it works. Question number three from listener Elizabeth G. There's a bricked up hole along the path facing the Rivers of America in New Orleans Square. On the top of that bricked up hole, there is a year engraved. What year is it?
We were just talking about this, I want to say. I watched it or saw it somewhere because they were talking about that it has the year on it that was supposed to leave, because it was supposed to be before budgets and stuff got cut, they were going to make... they were going to connect Pirates of the Caribbean and the Haunted Mansion and Pirates Lair on Tom Sawyer Island like together in one story.
Oh,
and it was supposed to be like the walkway to go under the Rivers of America over to Tom Sawyer Island or
Very
Pirates
cool.
Lair.
I'm going to throw a random number out there.
Go ahead.
1791.
Okay. See, I thought it was like 1762 or it was... 1672.
Well, which one?
I'll do 17, whatever it was. Whatever my first
62,
thing.
1762.
1762. All right. And our last question. Which of the 12 official Disney princesses do not have an attraction for themselves at the resort?
Poor Rapunzel does not have an attraction. How many are there?
There are 12 Disney princesses.
Yep. That don't have attractions?
12 Disney princesses total.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know which of those 12 do not have
which
an attraction.
Which of those 12? Okay.
So there's more than one?
Yep. So Princess Jasmine does not have an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Sleeping Beauty technically has an attraction. Aurora technically has an attraction because she's got the walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Snow White has one. Hang on. I got to think.
Is Pocahontas a princess?
Yes, she is a princess.
Pocahontas doesn't have an attraction.
So
Brave doesn't have an attraction. Is she a princess?
For Frozen, does the Frozen show count as an attraction?
The Frozen show counts as an attraction. Okay. And fun fact, neither of them are princesses. So they are not in the official princess catalog.
Princess Anna's a, well, not anymore.
Spoiler alert.
yeah, Merida okay, doesn't.
I gotta go back to thinking about who the princesses are.
Merida doesn't have a thing. Although, wait a minute. Are you counting?
I'm not counting meet and greets.
Do the people that show up in Mickey and the Magical Map count as an attraction?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Tiana. She doesn't have an attraction.
No, she doesn't. I'm trying to think.
I feel like more princesses don't have attractions than do.
I feel like I need to write down my princesses because I'm getting myself all confused. So we've got. Well, let's just name the 12. Snow White.
We should write this down.
Snow White has an attraction.
James, are you writing this down?
Aurora. I'm writing down an attraction.
Yes, I'm writing down your attraction.
Cinderella does not have an attraction. Belle does not have an attraction. Jasmine does not have an attraction. We said Rapunzel. We said Merida.
Mulan, is that a princess?
Mulan is a princess.
She doesn't have an attraction.
Oh, wait. She's not technically a princess, but I think she's counted in the princesses. She does not have an attraction. Tiana, we said, does not have an attraction. We've got three more.
Can we just name...
What is the little girl from Wreck-It Ralph? She's a princess, isn't she? Princess...
Penelope. Penelope is not included in the official Disney princesses.
She was in the little room where they were all hanging out.
Okay. I think we should rotate this. I think that we should name the ones that have it. It'd be so much easier.
Pocahontas does not have an attraction. Ariel is a princess. She has an attraction. We've got two more princesses that we're missing.
So I will tell you, you have named... 11 of them for me, you are missing one. The 11 that you have said are Rapunzel, Jasmine, Pocahontas, Merida, Tiana, Cinderella, Belle, Mulan, Snow White, Aurora, and Ariel.
Moana? Is Moana a princess?
Oh, yes, Moana is a princess. She does not have an attraction.
Is or is not?
Moana can be counted as a princess.
Is that not on your 12 list?
She is on my 12.
Wait, 12? Did you say there was 12 or 13?
There are 12.
Moana doesn't have an attraction either.
You have made it to 12.
I think that was a feat in and of itself.
What an endeavor. We'll see if they know their royalty or not after this week's discussion topic.
I'm exhausted after that.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are going to talk about all of the stuff going on with the state of California versus Disneyland with the reopening because of needing guidelines to reopen and be able to do stuff. One of the reasons that we are talking about this in our discussion topic was there was a bunch of stuff that came out late in the day today with some news articles.
Yeah. So basically, we decided that since there was just so much news and it all came out, like Tag said, kind of like right before we started this, we felt that this was a very important subject with lots of information to go over, lots of different thoughts, different feelings, different opinions. We felt it deserved a little bit more space than just a normal news segment would.
So one of the things that came out today was that 19 state legislators have called on Governor Newsom, the governor of California, to reopen the California theme parks. So that was one news story.
And, you know, that was kind of a big story because I feel like this has been like some sort of like pressure pot of things. Like there's just been all of this. I'm sure a lot of this had been happening behind the scenes and during all of the talks and everything that have been going on between Disney and the state for figuring out what the correct thing to do, what the safest, what the smartest thing to do is as far as reopening specifically theme parks. You know, I feel like this had probably been going on behind the scenes longer, but it's just very interesting because all of a sudden, and it feels like this all started with the press conference that Disney held recently. I think we talked about it last. We went over the press conference last week, but I feel like that was what's kind of started bringing this and pulling this out into the public eye more. To me, what a lot of this is feeling like is Disney is now, it feels like Disney is publicly putting pressure on the state, asking for some sort of information, because unfortunately the state has just been coming back with saying, oh, soon, we'll have guidelines for you soon. Well, soon has been the word they've been using for a couple weeks now. So
at least.
Disney's getting impatient and the pressure is on.
So the state legislators have said the time is now to move forward with reopening Disneyland and other theme parks. California Health and Human Services Secretary Dr. Mark Galli said that we're getting very close to giving guidelines and stuff like that to the parks. Then Disney did this, posted this whole thing, which really some people we were talking about, and we're going to actually share. We asked some people in our chat to share their opinions, and we're going to share some of that as part of this discussion as well. But Disney said that Josh D'Amaro sent out a press release and a memo to cast members that Disneyland and Disney World are laying off 28,000 employees because of all of this. And in his statement, he said, unfortunately, because of the fact that California isn't giving us clear guidance and that we can't open and we have to reduce our workforce because people are not going to the parks as much in Disney World either, we have to lay off these 28,000 people, which is about 67% of those are part-time.
So to actually quote, like, the, I mean, there's, he was not beating around the bush. To take a quote from this, Josh D'Amaro said, and I quote, "Exasperated in California by the state's unwillingness to lift restrictions that would allow Disneyland to reopen, we have made the very difficult decision to begin the process of reducing our workforce at our parks, experiences, and product segment at all levels." So there's, I mean, if anybody was questioning if Disney, where Disney was pointing fingers of blame at, Josh made it very clear what their thoughts are. And, you know, I feel like being a company this size and having the relationship that they do with California and with Florida, Disney must be at like boiling, if not beyond boiling point, frustrated with the states right now, because the fact that they made this statement publicly, we don't normally see this kind of finger pointing from Disney. Usually it's very, you know, very
behind the scenes.
It's not brought out to the front. They make everything look like everything's happy. It's wonderful. You know, it's Disney, you know, smile on their face kind of thing. So it was very shocking to me that they were like calling them out in black and white here. So to kind of give you guys an idea, because Disney doesn't always share numbers on things, right? In the grand state of things, I'm getting this information from the Orange County Register. Between Disneyland, Universal Studios, and other California theme parks, there's about 135,000 park employees that are out of work. So again, that's not just Disneyland, that's just California theme parks in general. Now, of course, we do still have people that are at Disney that are kind of keeping the lights on, keeping things, getting things ready for the eventual reopening, because, right, it's going to happen at some point. Tag and I learned during our trip to Walt Disney World that because a lot of these attractions had sat for so long, they're having a lot of issues right now, Walt Disney World, with attractions, and they're breaking down and having to do extra maintenance and repair, giving them a lot of extra TLC from them sitting. So it sounds like Disney is trying to be proactive at Disneyland, since they've known this is a problem. They're trying to get ahead of it there. So there are more people in the parks right now working, but there are still thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are out of work and still furloughed at Disneyland.
Yeah. So the very first story we talked about in our news segment today was the fact that the Anaheim Chamber of Commerce and all those people got together, and there's actually an ad, a 30-second ad that is linked. We'll link it in our show notes. That's from the Anaheim Chamber of Commerce. And they start out the ad saying 264,000 jobs were lost in Anaheim area during COVID. Of course, that isn't just Disney. That's also the hotels around the area. Much of them are probably going to close and never reopen. There's all the staff that goes with that. There's all the staff of restaurants and stuff that are not open around there. Obviously, you know, people that are even doing stuff like rideshare, like Uber and Lyft, I'm sure they're not getting as many rides and stuff like that. That's not really a job lost, but still. One of the things they say is that in this ad is that Disney has done a great job of putting together this comprehensive plan like they've done in Disney World to make sure that everybody's safe, requiring masks, temperature checks, hand washing stations, sanitizing stations. And so the Anaheim Chamber of Commerce says it's time to responsibly reopen and get us back to work. And like I said, they specifically mentioned Disney, but they also talk about the other parks like Universal and SeaWorld, because those parks are also in California and can open. But they're saying that Anaheim is proud. Anaheim's ready. They're ready to open. They need to open. And so they're saying to tell Governor Newsom to help Anaheim get back to work. So we'll link that ad in there. They also say reawaken our region. So they're definitely putting out an ad to basically bring a lot of focus and attention to this matter and get people of the general public to be like, hey, that area is hurting and they need to get back to work.
So the one thing too is, right, we're a Disneyland podcast, right? So we're very focused on Disneyland and the Disneyland Resort. The one thing though to keep in mind too, and that we kind of forget about, is the area just outside the gates. Think of all of the hotels and all of the restaurants that are on Harbor Boulevard, places that you probably visit every time you're there, you know, well-known places that have been there for years and years and years. And unfortunately, because the parks are all shut down, not only are the parks hurting, but those nearby businesses are also hurting.
Yep.
Unfortunately, a lot of them have had to close their doors, and a lot of them that are still open are very, you know, it's very they're on thin ice as far as that goes, because it's been 6 months. Nobody thought that this was going to be this long. The thing,
do you remember back when we announced it? It was supposed to be like 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah, when we first announced this back in, when was that? March. We thought March. For sure we'd have no problem going to Villains Night at the end of April. So crazy, crazy world we're living in. I do have to say, I 100% do not envy any of the people in charge having to try and navigate these very, very uncertain, very, very strange waters. I don't envy any of the people at Disney having to make these decisions. I don't envy any of the people at the state level trying to make any of these decisions. I just don't. I do want to say, you know, this is, again, we love Disney. Don't get me wrong. We love Disneyland. However, I kind of want to put some questioning back onto Disney with the announcement of them having to lay off so many cast members, with the announcement today of them having to lay off so many cast members. I just really, really hope, and I really, really want to believe that they did everything that they could have, that they cut budgets and cut back spending everywhere else. I'm really hoping that this was a last resort effort on their part. We know that way back when the shutdown had first happened, we had heard that some of the top executives had been not getting paid as much. They had a reduction in their pay.
Which has gone back up,
which has gone back up. But I really, really hope that Disney did everything. I don't know if I necessarily believe that they've done everything, but I really want to hope.
Well, you have to remember, for the last 6+ months, they've paid health insurance premiums for all of these cast members that are out of work. You know,
I think that's it.
But still, like that's a pretty expensive proposition.
It is an expense, but I
mean, they could have cut them right away.
The one thing that I'm curious, that I'm also going to put some pressure on Disney with, is, so their neighbors over at Knott's Berry Farm have seemed to find a really nice middle ground right now. Their parks are open. However, none of their attractions are running. They've been doing these really fun themed food festivals, which are still getting people
like
in the parks.
Wine.
Yeah, which I think I'm actually really surprised that we didn't see Disney do something similar. So I don't know if maybe...
I'm thinking that there's some reason for it.
They're sitting in the backs like, ooh, dang it, wish we would have had that idea first. We can't now do it because it looks like we're going to... Like, I don't know if it's a that thing or what the reasoning is, but I'm kind of surprised that we didn't see Disney do something similar, because I feel like for Knott's Berry Farm, that was a very nice, happy medium. And actually right now, they have one going on that's like Halloween themed. So they've got all their Halloween decorations up. You can go try out all these Halloween foods, but they actually even have socially distant treat trails for little kids to go trick-or-treating on, too. So it's really interesting to me how different parks are navigating it. And I hope that Disney's doing everything that they want.
I think Disney could charge $20 a ticket and let people into the park, open the restaurants, open the shops, which are things you're allowed to have open, and let people, even like Pirate, like even Blue Bayou, you don't have to be running boats through. But you could have people dine there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's people that would go crazy.
Yeah. I dined in Blue Bayou when the Pirates of the Caribbean was down. So
I think
really nice.
There's an audience for that, and they could be making some money that they're not making right now. And you know, people are going to... And it's the two things that they want, right? It's merchandise and dining, things you have to spend extra money on. Yeah. So it's not like they're opening the attractions, which cost a lot to run because of maintenance and all that stuff. But anyway, so we did ask our chat for what their thoughts were, and all of these folks said that they are fine with us talking about all of their opinions on the podcast, and I thought it was good to kind of get different opinions, because there were some different opinions.
Lee in our chat actually just had a really good thought and a really good point about knots, is that that there might be some sort of different legal classification, because knots started as a shopping district without attractions and rides, whereas Disneyland
has always had
the attractions and rides. So maybe there's some sort of something that they're, maybe they're able to do that because of something different, and Disney just isn't able to do that.
Well, speaking of Lee was the first person to chime in and say that Disney has proven they can open safely. People are suffering. This is completely obvious in the Orange County area. It is time to let the parks open. So I agree. I mean, I have not personally been to the Orange County area since this has all started, but I can imagine that it's not a great place to be.
So Kate, one of our community managers, had also really good thoughts and really good insights. And she said, I will preface this by saying that I absolutely believe that Disneyland can open safely. But my interpretation of all this is that Governor Newsom got very spooked by how quickly the cases started rising in California after we started opening back up after the spring SIP orders. California is huge and a very diverse state with lots of different industries. It's not just theme parks that they have been very slow to open back up. Gyms are not open, indoor dining in most counties, etc. He just opened up outdoor playgrounds today. Nail salons were allowed to open for indoor services a couple weeks ago, so I don't think that theme parks are being singled out. I think it fits with the very specific approach that he has been taking with opening everything back up. And then she also said, had a really good example that one of our other supporters had too, but Kate also mentioned it's very hard to close things back down once they have been reopened.
Yeah, and we've seen that with Hong Kong Disneyland. Of course, you know, just think about it. You bring all the cast members back, and then if you have to close, you have to put them on furlough or whatever again. And then you have to go through, you order food and supplies and stuff, and all that stuff has to be donated or gotten rid of. I think that was also brought up.
Yep, which is what Carrie M. brought up. She said, you know, I want Disneyland to open, but I'm sure it will be, but, you know, if it will be shut down again, it would cost Disney so much more. They've seen it with restaurants and gyms, and many have gone out of business from being shut down the second time, because it's a lot of supplies to buy and once again have to either donate or get rid of. But so Carrie then concluded with, I don't have an answer, but I think they might regret it if they open now only to have to shut back down within a month.
Freya, one of our community managers, said that she thinks it's also important to keep in mind population density. Florida has about 21 million people, while California has double, nearly 40 million people. It's the most populous state in the nation. Opening up would mean more travel within the state, already huge, plus more people traveling into the state, adding to the already large number of people here. And then she said that, like Kate said, I believe that Disney's ability to open safely and the Governor Newsom is trying his best to work out a difficult situation. There seemed to be a lot of sympathy to Governor Newsom that he has a very difficult job.
Oh, yeah.
And that he's kind of stuck, because if he makes one decision and more people die, then that's kind of on him. If he holds it, then people are losing their jobs and they could die through indirect things, right? Because if you don't have a house or you're homeless or whatever. So it's definitely a difficult decision.
It's a very, very difficult place to be. And like I said before, do not envy all of these what feels impossible choices that they have to make.
Yeah. Ethan said that he thinks that between Downtown Disney and the Florida parks, Disney has proven that they know how to open parks safely. I'm confident that if the state allowed it, the parks reopening would be a success. As long as us as guests also understand the steps that we need to take to ensure the park stays safe and stays open, I think Disney will be in a very comfortable position to reopen the parks. I agree. That was kind of our opinion when we were in Disney World, that, you know, Disney was doing a pretty good job. There were a couple times where people, you know, there wasn't a cast member around or whatever, and it's difficult to kind of police that. But if the parks are going to stay open, they've got to do a really good job at that. And it takes everybody. It's not just Disney. Disney could be telling people all over, but if people are refusing, or people getting even worse, if people get in fights, start spitting on people. I mean, we've seen that just in public.
Scott C. had a good point, too. He said that, I'm thinking that Disney knew that they were going to have to do this at the end of September, and the press conference was kind of their last effort to get the state to help them open before having to do it. And what he's referencing is kind of publicly putting pressure on the state. He goes on to say, I would guess that they let the state know that it was going to come to this too in their negotiations, but to no avail.
So Barbara actually gave a great thing that we haven't, this kind of perspective that a lot of people haven't said. And she said, I would love to see Disneyland Resort open again, which everybody agrees, but I agree with the decision to keep it closed for now. California and the resort itself are a very different animal than Florida. Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually thought they opened Florida too quickly. I'm glad they haven't tied any outbreaks to the Florida resort. We don't know what a surge will look like this winter. California parks are much more local-based. Newsom is adhering, as far as I know, to similar guidelines for thresholds that New York, Oregon, and Washington, etc. have been following. Florida did not have the same guidelines and had the largest surge reported the day Walt Disney World reopened. Not related to the opening, but it made me pause and question the sanity and the general PR nightmare that could have been, which we talked about.
Yes.
We're not surging in Washington, but still at phase two in my county. Trust me, as a stockholder and former corporate cast member, I get the economic impacts, but to me, safety wins out.
Yes.
And I also want to say later on, she said something that goes along with that, and I want to just do that as well. I'll say this, if it opened now, I wouldn't go personally. It would suck, but I wouldn't. So, I mean, it's good to see that there's people like us who would be like, yeah, let's just do it. And then there's people like Barbara
being
cautious.
We had a really, really wonderful conversation today in our chat about this, you know, and I really have to send kudos to our community because we have such a special, amazing group of people that listen and that follow and that participate in this stuff, because a lot of other Disney pages and groups that I follow, a similar conversation like this happened today. However, some people got really nasty really fast.
Oh, yeah.
People got really negative towards one another. There was one page that actually now has a thing at the bottom, a little disclaimer that basically says, if you're being nasty, we're getting rid of your comments. We're not tolerating this, and this. So the fact that it came to the point that they had to kind of set clear goalposts and guidelines,
yeah,
for how let's be nice to each other. You know, so I feel very fortunate that our community is able to have these tough discussions, because this is very emotional. We all very much love Disneyland, but we also very much care for the health and safety of ourselves, our family, and our communities too. So it's a very difficult waters, mm-hmm, very muddy. In my opinion, you know, being someone from the Midwest, I do think that it is time for Disneyland to reopen. And I do think that, you know, because I just feel for the cast members and I just worry about the company and the park itself, because it's been a long time. It's been 6 months. But it is nice having you guys in the chat and having you listeners kind of giving us your perspectives too, because mm-hmm, one thing that I completely didn't even realize that was brought up in our chat today was, think of how it would look if theme parks reopened before school, you know, before they're even having schools reopen, because a lot of schools right now are not open in California as well. So it's just
right,
kind of, so what makes more sense than another? And I don't really know what to say about that.
I think
that
when you compare it to schools, the problem with the school is Disneyland, there's a large portion that is outdoors and you can be socially distant. You're not stuck in a classroom trying to shove 30 other students in and trying to even do things like Lee in our chat said earlier, that they plan on reopening their school in a hybrid thing. And then a couple weeks bringing everybody back. But if there's spikes and stuff, that's going to be harder. And we've seen in our area, the college is open. All the college kids came back. And one of our local colleges went into complete lockdown because things spiked
up. Yeah. No, but I mean, just I understand like that you can't compare the two. It's apples and oranges. I 100% get that. I'm just saying like how Kate put it here. It's the optics of the theme park opening over before. So it's not safe for our kids to go to school, but we can open a theme park that is.
Yeah. It seems weird.
Really kind of like for kids. So it's just, again, muddy, hard. I don't know what the right answers are. I don't think Disney 100% knows what the right answers are. I definitely don't think the state of California knows what the right answers are, since they're the ones that are kind of dragging their feet here. But I feel like we could go on and on and on about this, because it's one of those things that no matter how much we discuss it, we're never going to come up with the right answer.
Right.
So we'll just have to patiently. It's very hard to keep using that word because we've been very patient for 6 months now.
Well, some people have.
We're just going to be patient. We're going to be patient.
Along those same lines, Kate did bring up this point, which we forget being in our Disney fan bubble, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, which is that she still sees lots of comments from people on articles and social media posts who think that Disneyland should not reopen. We are all Disneyland people and have faith in the company to do the right thing, but lots of people in the state are concerned about safety and don't have the trust in Disney that we do. And I think that's an important part. A lot of people do go to the parks as, it doesn't mean quite as much. It's just like going to any park or whatever. So it's very interesting.
Some people drive by and don't understand what the hullabaloo is about.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of different thoughts, lots of different opinions. I don't envy either party. I understand where both sides are coming from. However, I just hope that soon we can at least find some sort of middle ground, some sort of common ground, whether that's I think we need to get some sort of roadmap, some sort of guidelines, some sort of something to kind of give Disney and give theme parks out of this kind of limbo that they've been sitting in for quite some time. Because remember, again, we were going to reopen in July and it's now almost October. So we've had this limbo really since everything decided to close, you know, when everything shut back down in July. So they've been sitting in limbo for a long time. So I do think that the correct thing for the state to do is to at least give some sort of direction and, you know, move forward as far as we can. And also in that, say, you have to do this, 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 this. But if this happens, then we go back to step one. So I do think something needs to come up. I do think something, because Disney is putting the pressure on publicly, I do hope that that will happen sooner rather than later, because I do feel like there's a ton of pressure on the state and Governor Newsom.
Rebecca in our chat said, I think that everyone knows Disney will do their due diligence in keeping everyone safe and has proven so with the Florida parks. California has many schools opening back up. Department stores are open. Restaurants are allowing indoor and outdoor dining, and hair and nail salon services are allowed, just like Teresa said with Kate before. I don't think it's an outrageous idea to have Disneyland open again. I would 100% go the minute they open. I also think it's a morale booster. Mm-hmm. We all know that since the government shut down, people have been becoming increasingly depressed, and the heightened restrictions on what you can do, where you can go, how many can gather, etc. With the parks back open, it can once again be people's escape from reality and the troubles of the world. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to go to Disney World.
Yeah.
It's always been a happy place to go. I think it would give people more of a sense of the world going back to normal. Also, the amount of people who are currently unemployed because Disney provides so many jobs should be an obvious reason to open the park. These cast members need their source of income back. California unemployment went down, so people are struggling again, which, again, feeds into the depression. I'm confident that the parks could have a successful reopening and also keep everyone safe.
You know what this reminds me a lot of is during the Imagineering story, when we got to hear from the head of... What park is it?
Tokyo after the earthquake, right?
The head of the Tokyo Resort, and how they were... I mean, apples and oranges. This is 100%. We're not comparing. It's a very different event happened in Tokyo than what's currently going on here. But how he was talking about how they kind of got to a point that they just felt that Disneyland need, it was this weird, when is the appropriate time? You know, when is it... it's one of those things that you don't really know. Again, not the same thing as what's going on here. But he said that they kind of felt that the country needed it, and they kind of, that it was a morale boost to kind of let everyone know, you know, everything's okay, you know, kind of a comfort to people as well. So eventually we'll get there. And I do agree. I think people really do need that. But unfortunately, we've got the health and safety thing still working against us with that.
I think we all need to remember, for better or for worse, this will pass eventually.
Yeah.
What that means, how long that is, what everything looks like when we come out of it, we don't know. But eventually, this will pass. Mm-hmm. We will get beyond this. But it's, like I said, it just depends what things are going to look like afterwards and how long it's going to take us to get there. I still believe if everybody would have adhered and all been on the same page way back... I know you're shaking because you're like, don't put that in the podcast. But I think if everybody adhered to things and all were on the same page, we could have been done with this with a limited amount of time in the beginning. But there was not agreement on what to do, and there was a lot of information back and forth, which confused a lot of people. And when people are confused and there's reputable sources giving you one piece of information, then later giving you a different piece of information, people lose the... what's the word I'm looking for? Like they don't trust it as much. And then I think that didn't help. But it's science. Stuff changes all the time. What do you guys think? Send us an email, feedback@dlweekly.net. You can respond to us on social media, DL Weekly on like everywhere, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Let us know what you think. We do have some feedback that I wanted to share, and actually has been sitting in our email box for a while, or one of these has been sitting in the email box for a while, and I wanted to leave on a positive note. So, Teresa, what did Connie send in about our tree?
So before we get into Connie's email, I did want to share with you guys, we did have someone reach out to us, a good friend of ours from the Sweep Spot, Lynn, actually reached out after he listened to our episode last week, and he had a really interesting tidbit of information that I was amazed in my research that I did not learn about the history of Tarzan's treehouse and the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse. But what Lynn told me was that the treehouse actually, it wasn't just the whole reason behind them doing the re-theme was because they were saving the tree. The tree was actually going to be was set to be taken down and extinct and no more treehouse. So when the numbers dropped, it wasn't let's re-theme it and we'll revive it. No, that was the last ditch effort for please keep the tree, don't tear it down, we love this attraction. So I was really surprised to find that. So
I can't imagine that they would take it down.
Thank you to Tony Baxter for saving our beloved treehouse. And what perfect timing that Tarzan just happened to be in the works while all this was going on at the theme park. So it was meant to be. But anyways, going on more about the treehouse, Connie wrote in and said, oh, how I dreamed I could spend the night in that tree. The parents' bedroom was my favorite, and I would linger there and imagine myself all cozy under the blankets, listening to the crickets all night. I'm lucky enough to own two original leaves from that tree. Years ago, Dave Mumford and Bruce Gordon literally threw hundreds of the leaves out to the audience at one of their appearances during an NFFC convention.
Wow.
That's cool. I did not know that, and lucky you, Connie, for being able to snag and grab two of the original leaves. What a very awesome, very cool memory.
That'd be awesome.
It reminds me a lot about how they were selling the
bulbs from the Main Street Electrical Parade
and how special those are.
Holly emailed in, and I'm going to show this on the stream, and I will find out from her if it's okay to post these with the episode. But she said, I hope you're all doing well. I've been a listener and Patreon supporter for a while, but this is my first time writing in. I thought I'd share some pictures of the puzzle I got from the 65th anniversary merchandise event and my progress on the paper parks so far. So the paper parks are taking a bit longer than I expect, but I'm determined to finish all of the sections eventually. Thanks for all the magic you bring to us in these tough times. So I wanted to share. She did a great job. So
they're amazing.
Yeah,
she colored them.
She's done an amazing job coloring in Main Street and both sides and the floats. I'm so glad she sent these in because I want to sit down to this. I just have not had time. Does this encourage you to maybe do something with the paper parks?
The thing that encouraged me the most is that she was smart about it and she did not spend all the time to cut out every little intricate detail of Main Street. She just did swoopy things around it and it looks wonderful.
It still looks great, yeah.
It looks amazing. I can't wait because since we've gotten this email, they've released more. So this is just Main Street. We don't have the castle and those wonderful things too. So I can't wait to see what the rest of it looks like, Holly. So please send us an updated photo when you can.
She emailed that in a while ago and it's been sitting there and I'm like, I really need to remember to put these things in. So,
well, now it's time to return to Trivia Land where producer James is going to give us the answers to this week's trivia. I don't know. I have mixed feelings on how we did.
You two went in with so much confidence on so many of these.
Well, we'll see if it's warranted or not.
Right. All right. So our first question came from listener Quincy, whose question was, what was the first attraction in Disneyland to have a holiday overlay? You said the Haunted Mansion and It's a Small World. Well, according to the book Disneyland by Chris Nichols, the Country Bear Jamboree had the Country Bear Christmas special in the Christmas holidays had first.
Dang. Do you know what is second?
It's a Small World.
Is it?
I do believe Tag is correct that it's a Small World a second, but I would need to look that up to be certain.
Dang. Now that you say that, anyway.
Just sneaks right in there. Bear Jamboree or Achilles Heel. Question number two comes from listener Donna S. If it were open today, how many attractions are at Disneyland? Your gut instinct got you there. 52 is the answer.
Yeah.
Question number three came from Elizabeth G. There's a brick to pull along a path facing the Rivers of America in New Orleans Square. On the top of that brick to pull, there is a year engraved. What is it? Tag, you were so close. It's 1764.
Ooh.
Oh.
So
64, not 62.
Correct.
Dang.
It was built during a refurbishment to prepare the riverfront for a viewing of the nighttime spectacular Fantasmic. There's a lot of theories behind its meaning. It could be... around the time when the French ceded New Orleans to the Spanish in 1763, Treaty of Paris, and the Spanish took over in 1764. Also in 1764, the first four Acadian families, Canadians expelled from Canada, who became known as Cajuns, arrived in New Orleans, beginning a major influence. Speculation galore of what it could be. All right, our last question. Which of the 12 official Disney princesses do not have an attraction at the resort? You correctly gave me the 9 that do not: Rapunzel, Jasmine, Pocahontas, Merida, Tiana, Cinderella, Belle, Mulan, and Moana.
Yay!
Of course, that list, you know, could change eventually with Tiana being on there. And only a little bit of help to make sure you had all the princesses. So, well done, Teresa, and take way to be some good moral support.
Yep. You got a couple of them.
So, that's our trivia for this week. They did pretty good, I think. So I need some stumpers to help us out in the future. You can send some trivia to me and producer Vern. Our email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, have courage, be kind, and spread some Disney magic.
And I hope for next week we'll have an opening something.
Oh, dear Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.